Lots of changes in the CFL, and some think they're great, some think too Americanized. I don't know what the split is. I'm curious when I get my next guest here, Green Zone host Jamie Nye on with me. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Greg.
I was really curious, by the end of your day yesterday, after all this went down, when you look back on the phone calls and the comments via text, is it split down the middle when it comes to happiness about these changes, or was one side stronger than the other?
No, it was completely split. It was some people, there were those in the middle going, I like this change, but not this change. I like this change, but not that change. There was the Americanization of the Canadian Football League, and we should be 110 downs and or 110 yards and, you know, three downs, and what are they doing? And this new guy needs to go, and Stuart Johnston. And then there's those that go who embrace change and said, hey, all these things make sense. When you look at it, they all make sense on what they're trying to do with the game.
Well, we're not the first sport. Well, sorry, go ahead, finish your thought.
But it does look a lot more American than it did yesterday before that news conference on what this game's going to look like by 2027.
Well, and we're not four downs yet, but even the commissioner didn't rule that out, as he said yesterday. I'll get to that in a moment, Jamie, but let's jump off from how angry BC Lions quarterback Nathan Rourke was yesterday.
New rule changes are garbage.
The commissioner and nine board of governors approved the rule changes. Nobody else, right?
Yeah, that was all that was in the group. And, you know, some of the stats people and football operations people, it was a small group that Stuart Johnston put together. And a small working group, and that's what they decided. Now, was it just a group of yes people who were going to say, yep, that's what we should do with no matter what was being said and proposed? I'm not sure. But the Board of Governors, they all sat, they approved it. And I'll say this, because people we talked about on the show, they didn't consult players, they didn't consult coaches, they didn't consult this, they didn't consult that. The more people you consult, the less likely it is that these changes are made. And if you want to talk about the entertainment value of the product, don't go to a coach and don't go to the player, because they want to win football games. They know what they like and how to win football games in their specific way. None of what they care about is actually the entertainment value of the game, which is exactly what these changes are hoping to have, is more entertainment value, less slowdowns, less obstruction of the television audience and the play on the field with the goalposts, all those things, moving the goal lines closer together, increased scoring. All these things are going to those specific avenues for the Canadian Football League. But the critics are fair to go. This looks a lot like the National Football League.
Troy Westwood, former player, of course, with the Bombers, said on social media, players and coaches are employees. They don't need to be consulted. His take. Jamie, can you explain to fans this 35-second rule and how it may or may not affect the ending of CFL games? A lot of us kind of like the frantic finish the CFL is famous for. Will this rule keep that from happening as much now, or how is this going to evolve?
Well, what's going to be interesting, Greg, on that front is what happens at Rules Committee, because now the coaches, the Players Association will weigh in on, you know, what needs to take place to make these new rules work and trying to stop the clock late in games. That's probably going to be adding timeouts. Like you see, every team in the NFL has three timeouts each half. I'm not sure if they're going to go that far, but if more teams have timeouts, they can stop the clock. But there is that potential, no timeouts left with the lead, with a minute 10 left instead of 40 seconds, a team can start doing the kneel down and the clock runs out and away we go. I'm not a big fan of that, but if they add more timeouts, then it's up to the coaches to strategically use those timeouts in case they're behind so they can stop the clock.
All right, Green Zone host Jamie Nye. I'm almost out of time, but I want to circle back to how we began here. As I said, you had the commissioner on. He talked about how the four-down game wasn't a conversation this time around, but he admitted it's possible. One day it could be. Do you think it's inevitable?
I'm starting to think so, but it depends on who is, I think, who's running the league. Who are the owners when that comes up? Because this current group of owners, I can tell you, is a lot more willing to change than previous groups. There's a lot of ownership change. A lot of power has shifted. And this group, I think, wants to align a lot closer to the NFL than what we saw today. So I can understand why people think four downs is inevitable, but the commissioner says it's not even on his back burner right now. But right now, when is right now?
Yeah.
Is that 5 years from now? Is that 10 years from now? Who knows?
Great insight as always, Jamie. Catch you on the Green Zone again this afternoon with Locker. Appreciate your time.
No problem, Greg.
Well, I'm not a doctor, but I don't know if this sounds like someone you would take advice from what I'm about to play for you. But some medical news from across the border. President Donald Trump advising against Tylenol.
Effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen. Is that okay? Which is basically commonly known as Tylenol during pregnancy, can be associated with a very increased risk of autism. So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good. For this reason, they are strongly recommending that women limit Tylenol use during pregnancy unless medically necessary. That's, for instance, in cases of extremely high fever, that you feel you can't tough it out, you can't do it. I guess there's that. It's a small number of cases, I think. But if you can't tough it out, if you can't do it, that's what you're going to have to do. You'll take a Tylenol, but it'll be very sparingly.
All right. Alongside of him was Secretary of Health Robert Kennedy Jr. and Trump administration stating the use of Tylenol during pregnancy may be linked to an increased risk of autism.
Today, the FDA will issue a physician's notice about the risk of acetaminophen during pregnancy and begin the process to initiate a safety label change.
Now, there are a lot of leading medical groups which offer dozens of studies that prove there's no direct cause and effect. And here's something else to add to this now, too. The rate of autism has increased, even as the use of Tylenol has decreased among pregnant women. And Tylenol is a pretty important drug for pregnant women, right? Because they're told that they shouldn't be using that other painkiller, ibuprofen, because that drug increases the risk of miscarriage. And again, as you hear all of this, you absolutely want to consult your doctor. That's what's going on stateside, but when it comes to your health, no matter what, consult your doctor.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
And this is the other story blowing up stateside right now. Jimmy Kimmel Live back tonight. ABC said in a statement last Wednesday, we made the decision to suspend production of the show to avoid further inflaming a tense situation at an emotional moment in our country. It is a decision we made because we felt some of the comments were ill-timed and insensitive. We've spent the last few days having thoughtful conversations, they said, with Jimmy, and those conversations reached the decision to return to work tonight from Hollywood. Obviously, Jimmy is expected to address the situation. From what we're hearing, they haven't told him what to say or what not to say. Sinclair Broadcasting, one of the major station owners that threatened a boycott, Kimmel says it still plans to preempt the show. The other company in the U.S. that owns local stations has yet to comment, but both companies are exploring possible mergers that would require the FCC approval. And remember, the FCC is, well, they're the ones that said Kimmel should get off the air. So there's a lot of sensitive billionaire conversations going on behind the scenes here. But set your PVR if you're a Kimmel fan. I'm sure this one will be extremely interesting. Well, happy first full day of fall. It is going to feel like summer here as 29 degrees coming our way tomorrow. Long term looks mild for now, which is great as We've all been made aware the harvest is behind from where it was this time last year. So need this warmer, dry weather to continue to roll on here. By now, you've probably heard the changes coming to the CFL and all the widespread reaction. I know Green Zone analyst Daryl Davis is going to be joining Brent Laux, who's here for Evan Bray right after the 8:30 news. And some people feeling the game has been Americanized too much now. I kind of tend to agree with Riders president Greg Reynolds. It is about evolving the game. I don't feel it's Americanized. I like what Craig had to say, because I feel the same way about moving the goalpost to the back of the end zone. It's about time.
So I think just opening up that field there, the end zone, when you're in the score zone, you know, the data that the CFL sort of provided sort of indicated there's going to be a significant increase in touchdowns, they believe, and increased completion percentage in the end zone. And so anytime you have an opportunity to score more touchdowns, and with all respect to our kickers, less field goals, I think it's a good thing for fans. Because that's what, you know, fans, the touchdown is the most, you know, exciting play we have. There's a reason that Gaynor drives around the field after touchdowns and not field goals.
And seriously, having an obstruction in the middle of the end zone can lead to
Picardo, end zone, off the upright, dead ball, and the Bombers have won the Western Final.
You know how that made us feel. I would feel even worse. It was in the Grey Cup here, too. So I kind of like that one, and I know there's going to be plenty more fan reaction throughout the day here, too. Because that's what we're all about at CJME, letting you have your say. So outside of football this morning, don't go away in a few moments. The response from the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. I called them up to have them on the show here this morning because perhaps like you, if you've been to the grocery stores of late, I can't believe the price of beef right now. Why is it so expensive? That answer coming up in a couple minutes. Don't go away. They'll join me in a second. Your morning commute, again, being slowed by construction. If you live on the east side of the city, as I do, and use Arcola, you know you're having to squeeze over in both directions on Arcola right now at Prince of Wales. They're doing some construction all week long, slow to 40. It'll be like that for a few more days. And if you use Sass Drive, man, it always seems aggravating for anyone working downtown getting in and out via Sask Drive. Hamilton Street to Lorne on Sask is restricted again now, creating long lineups during peak periods. Yesterday, I just want to say it was my pleasure to help launch Canada's Farm Show, which I know isn't until next March, but it's presented now by Bunge Canada, a rebrand with The Real District. Mayor Chad Baczynski was there with me, head of Bunge, Kyle Jaworski, and Real CEO Rick Bennett, all helping to cut the ribbon, all the signage outside of the Trade Center, which was formerly the Viterra International Trade Center. It's been rebranded now to incorporate Bunge. The signs look great. If you didn't already know, Bunge and Viterra merged, and Viterra is now fully absorbed into a global agribusiness giant. And as part of the merge, they're investing in a local office, of course. They're investing $520 million over that here in Canada alone. I spoke with Peter and Kyle from Bunge for a short time yesterday. They're all happy about the merger, and with exception to the fact when their phone rings with clients, they still slip up and say Viterra occasionally, but they're very pleased too with the association with Real. And CEO Rick Bennett was there yesterday. He felt the Bunge partnership is key to making the Farm Show grow in the future.
The value in the partnership that we had with Viterra continue on with Bunge. And for me, I believe it's even strengthened a little bit further in terms of representing the agricultural roots in the community of Regina. Hey, listen, you know, I think the whole canola industry, the crushing industry, is at a pivotal point at this point. And we'd like to be able to be a venue that can give Bunge a voice to help bring about solutions in this space right now.
That was just a small portion of my conversation with Rick behind the scenes yesterday. I'm going to bring the full conversation to you tomorrow. We expanded on how the Real District is changing, how it's evolving. Still waiting for answers from the city, really, as to where they fall in line. But Rick shared with me how they're looking at booking at least bigger concerts and overall some maintenance changes, too, going on with the Real District.
Pray for rain and thank him when it's falling, because it brings a grain and a little bit of money. We put it back in the plate. I guess that's why they call it God's country. I saw the light in
a... Well, I bet many of you have been to the grocery store, and if you went to pick up some beef, you probably thought to yourself, man, that is a little pricey. There's a reason that it's gone up. My next guest can help with the answers here. She's Jolene Shea, Vice Chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. Jolene, thanks for being here. Is there an easy answer to why we've seen beef prices spike here lately?
Well, you're not wrong. The prices are definitely higher. I'm not sure there's an easy answer for it. There was a number of factors that have been affecting it, and the biggest one has just been the ongoing drought we've been seeing across Western Canada and across the U.S. Producers have been liquidating their herds over the last few years just due to the dry conditions, and that's lowered supply, and now we're seeing it affect the grocery price.
Well, as a rancher yourself, you're in tune, obviously, with the Saskatchewan beef industry, so drought challenging. What other sort of challenges are facing the cattle industry here in our province right now?
Well, we do have an aging rancher, so that's not really helping things either. We're not seeing a whole lot of young people join the industry. It's pretty difficult to get started. And, you know, we've got record high beef prices right now for the rancher on that side of things, too. So we are seeing some people take advantage of that and retire.
Yeah. Does the province have a role in assisting to maybe spread the word a little better about getting into the industry? Or how do you overcome that? You say the youth isn't as interested. So what can you do?
Well, that's a pretty tough question to answer. You know, we're trying to come up with some solutions ourselves at the SCA level, and it's tough. There's barriers just due to the price of things. So I'm sure there is some things the government could do, but it's tough.
Yeah, I bet it is. Jolene Shea, Vice Chair of the Saskatchewan Cattlemen's Association. This ongoing Tariff War adds to the whole headache of everything. How has it affected the beef industry?
Actually, so far we haven't seen too much effects from the tariffs. Beef is under the CUSMA agreement, so far, other than a day or two, we really haven't seen any issues with tariffs.
Okay, well, so you're telling me that the price of beef for now is a little expensive. Do you see it trending downward anytime soon?
It's going to stay high for the next couple of years. You know, in order to grow supply, as a rancher, we have to start retaining heifers. And once we start retaining those heifers to grow the herd again, it's over 2 years before those heifers have a calf, and then that calf is big enough to enter the food chain. So unfortunately for the consumer, we are going to see high prices for some time. Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a couple of years probably.
Well, you've helped us understand it a little easier, and I thank you, Jolene, for that. And I wish it wasn't the case, but it just is. And thank you so much for the update. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.